Hi, Scott. I'm Killen from Monstars MMA. We're going to do a UFC 245 breakdown. I've got Louis KO on the phone. We're going to go through.
Hey, what's up?
We're going to go through, talk about the main card. So from Peter Yan, Uriah Faber, up to Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. Give our opinions on each fight and a fight prediction for the fight, winner, round, method for each of the main cards, and then just discuss them each. So, Louis, if you want to introduce yourself a little bit, then fire away.
Hey, I'm just Louis KO. Just a big fight fan trying to boost up my social media stuff. And I just like fights. And I'm constantly watching them and breaking them down. And, got my judge's certification recently, so I'm an amateur judge as well. So that's
good, about it. Good stuff. And all your social media is Louis KO, isn't it?
Yeah, Louis KO, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, go follow him, at Louis KO. So we're going to get right into this and start off with the first fight on the main card, which is Peter Yan versus Uriah Faber. And I think this is, like, the one that most people are looking forward to. I know it's probably my second favourite fight on the card that I'm looking forward to, just because I'm a massive Uriah Faber fan. But I also like Peter Yan as well.
Yeah, I like your favorite. He's one of my favorites, for sure. He's a good pioneer for the division.
Yeah, and it's good. I watched a little interview he did with Brett Okamoto yesterday, or the day before. And he was, like, Brett asked him why he's coming back. And he said he was just in the gym, and he was training with people like Andre Feely and Cody Garbrandt and stuff, and he was saying that he was still hanging in there and that he could still keep going with it. So he thought, you know what, fuck it, let's try and do it. Like, so he asked for his fight back, and obviously he made a win start to his return after he retired. And he said that, like, Brett said to him, like, yeah, this is, like, only his third fight since 2016. Like, you were retired. And he says, well, I didn't really think of it about that. He said all the adrenaline and all this, that and the other sort of kicked in. He said, so up until now, till you've just said that, I never thought about that. Until now, you've just said that I'm retired.
Yeah, he's a man. I don't know, he's wild retired if you still got it in you. I mean, he looks good. That last fight, you know, he against, Simone? He looked real good, I thought. He was kind of getting touched up at first, but then he just hammered him, and that was it. So I was like, dang, you go, boy. You got this. Keep on grinding. Might as well.
Yeah, and obviously we're seeing Uriah Faber, the majority of his finishes fights are finishes. Like, I don't think he's been finished that much. I think it's only been one or two fights or something like that he's actually been finished. And he's had, I think he's, 36 and 10 or something like that? So he's, like, nearly 50 pro fights.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fights. Tons of them.
But yeah, like, Peter Yan, most of his fights have gone to a decision as well. I think he's only got two by finish. So my pick for this, like, people might think I'm genuinely crazy with this, but I'm actually going to go with Uriah Faber for a second round sub.
Nice. He could get it too. You never know. I haven't seen Peter Yan on the ground very much, so I don't know how his ground game is, but I know his orthodox stance, man, he's bringing it. Every time, he's swinging. And that last fight against Jimmy Rivera, when he was fighting, yeah, Jimmy Rivera came out, and he tore that lead leg up real quick. And I was thinking, oh, he's going to have to switch up, you know. He's going to have to keep switching, because he can't just sit there and let that leg get chewed up like that. And he switched over to southpaw, and, God, as soon as he did, those leg kicks were coming. He head kicked him immediately. So his southpaw stance has looked just as good as his orthodox, so I don't... That guy to me is pretty scary. And he's 14, 15, 16 years younger than Faber. So.
Yeah, 16 years younger.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a test for Faber for sure.
Yeah. So what's your prediction for the fight?
Man, I don't know. I've been going back and forth with it. I love Faber, but after watching all the clips of Peter Yan, that dude's just he don't slow down, man. He's bringing it every time. He's just coming, so I think I'm gonna take Peter Yan in a decision, probably.
Good stuff. See, again, it's really close to call. Obviously, Uriah Faber's got such experience, and he's won fights with every possible way, and he's fought every sort of possible opponent. But like you said, Peter Yan, sort of with that unorthodox stance, like he can switch up so easy. I don't think Faber's ever fought anyone that switches it up just as much as he does, and can be good, just as good either way, or if not better.
It was almost like he was kind of, I'm sure he wasn't happy he had to switch stances, but you could tell he switched and was like, all right, here we go. You weren't ready for this. he looked real comfortable, man. His southpaw looked just as good as his other stance, so I was very impressed with that. And Jimmy Rivera ain't no, he's no slouch. He was popping him hard with some shots, and he's swinging for the fence, so he took all three rounds, unanimous decision, so.
So, yeah, just to confirm, I've gone Uriah Faber, second round sub, and I think it might be by a rear naked choke as well, or a guillotine.
It could be.
We know how he loves both of them submissions. And Louis's gone for a Peter Yan on a decision.
Yeah.
So, this next one's real crazy is Jose Aldo versus Marlon Moraes.
Like, yeah, I like this one too.
And I've just seen it that Jose Aldo weighed in at 136 pounds.
Hey, not too bad.
And supposedly he was energetic and smiling on the scales as well. So it could just be a front that he's putting on. And we know he's had a really shitty weight cut. But it could be that he's putting that smile on and that energy on to try and fool people.
So 136 a pound over, it's making weight, right?
Yeah, it's right. By 0.5, I think it is, that it works out at.
Good for him, man. A lot of people, didn't think he'd even make it, so.
Yeah, so who we got on this one? Like, we'll start off with the predictions on this one, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, man, for this one, I've got Moraes, or however you say it, Moraes. I think if he comes out like he did against Cejudo in the first round, and keeps his distance, and Aldo lets him have that distance, then he's going to chew him up, too. I think he's just going to wear him out, really. I don't think the weight cut. I think Aldo's putting on a bit of a show with that weight cut, because he didn't look good to me. He looked pretty rough. Not saying he can't do it, but he's one of the best, so I'm sure he can. Anybody can win a fight, but that guy's just Morales. He's a big 135er, so. He's got, if he lets him play that distance game, I think he's going to tear him up. That, when Cejudo finally, after that second round come in, he finally, got in close with the clinch, that Muay Thai clinch, he was throwing them knees. That really hurt him bad. So if I'm Jose Aldo, I'm going to get in there quick, clinch with him a little bit. Probably not go to the ground with him too much, because he's a good submission artist as well. So.
Yeah, I've got Marlon Moraes by KO, TKO in round two. I think this weight cut's kicked the shit out of Jose Aldo a bit too much. And obviously we've seen, even when he cut to 145 a few times, he looked a bit rough. But this is like on another level. Like, he looks like he's had the life sucked out of him. But again, like you said, he's one of the best. Like, I went through his Tapology, and from 2006... to nearly 2015, he never lost a fight. It was November 2014 when he got beat by Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's one of the best to ever do it, for sure.
So what's that? Yeah, that's nearly... That's nearly 9 years he went undefeated.
All that stuff with McGregor and all that, he just... It felt like it took something out of him almost, like he wasn't prepared for all that, so...
Yeah, I think because it was like...
I definitely got Morales.
I think for, like you said, with the Conor McGregor thing, I think because it was nothing that anyone had ever done before, like obviously they'd done a world tour, and I think it was 12 cities they went to in 3 weeks. And I don't think Aldo's ever done anything like that. Obviously they've done the little table press conferences with 6 or 7 of them on there, or 10 of them on there, but they've never done it where they've sold out half an arena for every press conference and 12 of them. Especially flying them all around the world, where your opponent's constantly in your ear giving you shit, like constantly there. Everywhere you turn, he's there giving you shit. And I don't think he was ready for it. And I think when he fought that McGregor fight, and after he lost it, yes, he said that he was all right with it and he wasn't disheartened. But I think the whole situation from the build-up, the world tour, the media days, and then the fight and everything like that just sucked the life out of him. And I don't think he really... I think in a way it sort of went, oh, shit, like, this could be it now. This is how every fight's going to be. Like, because obviously of where he'd been for the 9 years of not losing a fight... He thought
the skills are there, but if you let Conor McGregor get in your brain, man, it's golly, he can tear you up. So a lot of that's good. Kind of like the Colby Covington and Usman. You can't let this, like, in Usman's, you can't let him win. Like, there's just no way. So you got to really play that mind game. And I think Aldo was just like, I can't lose to McGregor. I just can't lose. So. And then it happened, so it was just, golly.
Yeah, and especially the way it happened as well.
Yeah, so.
I think that
was definitely a lot out of it.
I think Aldo would have probably got beat by 5 rounds on decision than getting knocked out the way he did.
Right, yeah, me too. Yep. I just think it's Aldo's time where he's going to slowly start declining, you know. Some people don't know when to get out the game, and I don't think he needs to retire, but he's definitely... If he don't show something in this next fight, he's going to have to do something or slowly get out. I think this is probably his last contract. He just re-signed, probably. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 5 or 6 fights, but I think it was 5. It might be 5.
Yeah, I think it was.
Like, seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, especially when he's, what, 34, 35, something like that? So, how long can he keep going for?
And plus, Aldo's one of them people that, you know, he could not fight another day and, God, people still love him in Brazil. They love him all over. He can still make money with anywhere he goes. So
yeah, especially
he's chasing the championship at this point. So.
Yeah, I think going down to 135 is probably his best option. Obviously, they're absolute killers at 145 and 155. Like, I can't see anyone beating Khabib for the 155 title. So,
right.
Don't think he's going to go there at 145 either. But you never know.
No. Yeah, his only option was to go down, probably.
Yeah, so my prediction for that one...
I don't want to go back up.
My prediction for that one is Marlon Moraes by KO or TKO in round 2 with the weight cut seriously affecting Jose Aldo. I just think it's going to be too much for him. And Louis is going for...
Yeah, I got Morales too. I got the second round, same as you. I think he's going to get saved by the belt at the end of the first and then come out and then lose pretty early in the second. I'm just
going to
say a KO.
So this next fight is the best fight I'm looking for on the card. And it's Amanda Nunes versus Jermaine Durandamine. Like,
yeah.
I'm not too clued up on Jermaine, but Amanda Nunes is easily, hands down, the greatest female mixed martial artist of all time. Like, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally agree with that one.
Like,
she's bad.
And people still now try and pick faults. Like, Jermaine's record's only 9-3. And yes, Amanda Nunes is only 18-4. But the people and how she's won to get to both titles is ridiculous. Like,
yeah. She
got paid when she fought Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey was out the game for 2 years. And as much as I hate Ronda Rousey, she's an Olympic wrestler. She's won a judo, or was it judo or wrestling? She won it at one of them, but she won a medal at the some Olympics. She was the biggest female sports star of all time, and Amanda Nunes beat her in 48 seconds or something. Like,
yeah.
And no one ever even expected it. No one predicted it or anything like that. And it was just like the Ronda Rousey Holly Holm fight. I predicted that one, and I predicted Amanda Nunes, and I think. Just because of how Jermaine Durandamine finished Aspen Ladd, I think there's going to be too much hype around her as well, and Amanda Nunes is going to do her in round one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I got Nunes on that one pretty early.
The accuracy of Amanda Nunes' shots and the timing of it, and she's smart as well. Like, when she beat Cyborg, she could have finished her way earlier than what she did.
Yeah.
But she took her time because she knew the finish was coming. And instead of, like, getting excited, like quite a lot of fighters do, and get excited and rush in and make mistakes and get caught themselves. I mean, how many times have we seen it where someone lands that big shot and goes running in and gets caught and ends up getting beat. But she didn't. She showed that level of maturity that, that she needed to do to win that fight and do it convincingly.
Yeah, Duranda, man, she's a, you know, she's a kickboxing world champion multiple times, and she's a badass in that world, but she don't have the experience, I don't think, to hang with Nunez. I mean, Nunez got more wins than she's got fights. So.
Yeah.
And she took out, golly, Nunez has taken them all out. She's got, she's beat every champion that's had the belt in those two divisions, so. Yeah, she's got a whole list of heads on her plaque for sure.
And the thing with Amanda Nunes, what I think as well, and it's like I put her in the same bracket as, like, for how they're doing things, is Henry Cejudo and Colby Covington. Like, when they got the belts, when they were in their divisions, they never got the respect that they deserved. And now that they've got the belts, like, even Colby Covington's admitted that he's doing this for a gimmick because he got told he wasn't going to get re-signed by the UFC. So he had to do something. Henry Cejudo was the same. He beat one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time in Demetrius Johnson for 4 out of 5 rounds. And, like, people still didn't think that he was that good. Yet, the whole division was on Demetrius Johnson's shoulders. Like, everyone thought when he lost that fight, that was it. The division was gone. But people need to realise, Henry Cejudo took that belt from him, then went up and beat probably one of the greatest bantamweights that is all time, obviously now not with his old EPO thing, but he stopped TJ Dillashaw in a minute and something odd seconds. Like, yeah, TJ was in the running for the greatest of all time in the bantamweight division, and he went in there and finished him.
Yeah, quick too. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, like, and then people still didn't give him the respect. Like, even after beating Demetrius Johnson and then beating TJ, everyone's just like, yeah, it could be two lucky wins. But what people don't realise is, I think the only loss that Henry Cejudo had before his TJ fight was Demetrius Johnson.
He's man, Cejudo really, he's just turned on the switch, man. He's got some fire in his eyes right now. He's ready to go.
So with Amanda Nunes as well, I don't think, like, after the Ronda Rousey fight, she got that respect. I think because Ronda Rousey had 2 years out, people were like, yeah, but she's had 2 years out, blah, 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 blah. She done this, she done that. She got knocked out by Holly Holm. It could have affected her. It was probably easy pickings for her. So she went, all right, this next woman that Ronda Rousey didn't want to fight, in Chris Cyborg, that for years and years they've talked shit to each other, and Ronda Rousey did not want to take that fight because she knew how dangerous she was. Someone said to her, Amanda Nunes, who do you want to fight next? She says, I want to take on Cyborg. And Dana White was like, I don't think that's a smart move. And she was like, make it happen. So they did. And we've seen the results. And now that she finished her in the way she did, and Ronda Rousey, like, she's not getting the respect either. So she's being like, do you know what? Fuck all of you. Like, and she's coming out with this and coming out with that and stuff like that. And she's trying to put up a gimmick as well. And it's sad that they kind of have to do that to get noticed, really, instead of their performances.
Yeah, Nunez is in the business of ending people's careers. She ain't playing. Ronda Rousey, she ain't fighting no more. Freaking Misha Tate's done. Just all of them. Holly Holm's still fighting, but gosh, she put damage on her. Bad. You know, she knocked her out of this planet, so.
Yeah,
she's
not
definitely the baddest woman in the world.
Yeah, like, and this is what I mean. It's going to take a lot for someone to beat her. Like, I think she's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt as well. So even though she's KOing people, it's not as if she's scared to go to the ground. Like, she's got that ground game too.
Yeah, she's got that reach that you think you're at a distance. The next thing you know, she's just tagging you. You think you're safe, but you're really not. It's weird because she looks way too far away to make contact. And all of a sudden, she's just landing on them.
Yeah, I think Cyborg had a bigger reach than her. Didn't she? Cyborg had a longer reach than her. And yet everyone was like, oh, yes, Cyborg will keep that distance and she'll load up that big shot. And it was the other way around.
Yeah, she surprised me big time. I picked Cyborg to win that fight, too. I was like, man, I got Cyborg. I think she's going to... Well, it's going to be a good fight, I thought. But golly, was I wrong on that? she proved herself. I actually seen her fight. I don't know if it was her first fight or not, but she went to Nashville and had a fight. And I went to that one, that UFC. And we watched her fight, and I was like, man, she's going to be a fucking champion. I'm telling you, she is bad. And sure enough, years later, I think she lost two or three, maybe one or two since the last. She lost four, I think, total. But in the meantime, me watching, she lost like two, one or two, and I was like, man, she's on path to be a champion. And sure enough, she improved so much more than, you know, a lot of people are so good, and it's like, man, how the hell are you going to improve anymore? And then they just keep evolving. And, you know, she's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, too, and you wouldn't even know it sometimes. She strikes so hard, and she likes standing up for you for sure.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. Like, people are saying, oh, she's only got stand-up. Like, I want to see someone take her to the ground. I would have happily watched Ronda Rousey try and take her down, or even Amanda Nunes take her down, and watch that ground fight. Like, watch them both go at it. Like, obviously, Ronda Rousey's whole MMA career is about the ground game, because we know, like, a strong wind and she's out for the count. But, like, on the ground, she's different. So I wouldn't have minded seeing Amanda Nunes take her to the ground and work that ground game. But she went in there to make a statement with both of them fights. And boy, whew, I don't think either of them are awake yet. So yeah, my prediction for this one is Amanda Nunes by KO or TKO. And I'm not sure if I'm going round one or round two, but I'm going to say round two anyway.
Yeah, you're going to at least give her the benefit of the doubt for one round.
Yeah, I just think...
Yeah.
Obviously, with everything from Jermaine Durand-Demin's last fight with Aspen Ladd, obviously, that weight cut nearly killed her. Like, she could barely stand up while she was on the scales. Like, her body nearly crashed while she was on the scales. I mean, I'm no pro athlete, but I can imagine it's quite hard to rehydrate within 24 hours. I could presume she could put on a couple more pounds, at least 10 pounds in fluids, but it won't all have gone back to her brain to protect her head. So the hype around her finishing Aspen Ladd in 16 seconds, I'm kind of looking a little past that.
Yeah, when I first heard of Randa May, I could be wrong on this, but I was watching her fight, and she looked real good. And one fight, her striking looked just amazing. They were talking about how she's a world-class kickboxer, champion, all this. And I could have sworn they said she was a teacher a month ago before the fight. She took the fight on short notice or something. And they said she was a teacher. And I was like, damn, she's a teacher doing that to people? Holy shit. So I could be wrong. I may have it mixed up, but I'm pretty sure she was like an elementary teacher or middle school or something like that.
Oh, sweet. Ain't no kid going to give her shit in school anymore, are they?
No, hell no. And then she, you know, she's been a kickboxer, but she's trying to figure out her path or whatever, I reckon. So she was a teacher for a little while.
Yeah, because she's Dutch as well. So I presume that, like, there's quite a lot of Dutch people that are, obviously, they're great kickboxers. Alistair Overeem's a pride and a champion and a kickboxer as well. So I think it's just that basis that they have over in Holland.
Yeah, that guy that just beat Overeem, Rosenstruck, he's a huge kicker too. That dude's had 85 kickboxing fights, I believe.
Yeah, his record's like something like 78-4, isn't it? Or something like 78-5.
Yeah, it's something big. I didn't know that. I was like, dang, this dude's a beast.
Yeah, it's surprising that quite a lot of people have such a high level kickboxing background. I mean, I think Stephen Thompson's record's like 78-2 or something like that at kickboxing as well.
Yeah, same thing with Stylebender. I think he's like 100-something and 5 or 4. I don't know. He's had over 100 fights.
Are you going for who's your call on that one? You going for Amanda Nunes as well?
Yeah, I got her. About the same as that one. I'm thinking late in the first, early second, somewhere in the second probably is what happened. But I wouldn't be surprised if this was over pretty quick. I would like to even see her, like you said, go to the ground because, you know, Durand May, she's probably not the best on the ground, being a kickboxer and all that. Her ground game is probably decent, but not great, especially against a black belt jiu-jitsu Brazilian. So I got Nunez with the knockout pretty early. I'll just say round one, make it different from yours.
So then next up we've got, see, I'm on the fence with this one. This is going to cause a lot of stir. Max Blessed Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski. And I think this is a changing of the guards, so to speak. I've got Volkanovski winning this one.
Nice.
I just think because Max might have been a little bit too pieced up against Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, he did get pieced up pretty nice. It was a good fight though, man. That was one I enjoyed watching a lot. It showed a lot out of Max Holloway too, moving up and going through that war.
Yeah, he like
one of those in a minute.
All respect, obviously, like for him going up and trying to take that shot, obviously, just so Dustin Poirier didn't lose that title shot. And I think it was just a bit too much for him, like, because he's fought 145 pretty much his whole career. So going up to 155 was probably harder than a weight cut for him. Like, so, and I think he might have just had, like, obviously, I'm probably looking into this a little bit too much, but the way he talks and stuff, I know he spoke like this for a while, but I think he might have had, like, a few too many hits to the head. And like I said, with that Dustin Poirier fight, he got pieced up. Like, so obviously that tissue damage is still there around his eyes and everything like that. I just think with the way Volkanovski is, how much pressure he puts on, how hard he hits, how fast he is, it might just be too much for Max this time.
Yeah, I like Volkanovski a lot. This going to be Max Holloway's toughest fight to date, for sure. That guy's, he's ready to be a champion. He deserves to be a champion. He's got such good setups to all his things he does. Like, his leg kicks are just setting up his punches, and his jab is setting up his right hook. It's just, everything he does is calculated. And I mean, he'll throw a jab off-centered on purpose just to make you move your head to the left or right, just to hit you with the hook that he set up with a leg kick. So, man, dude's got some skills, and he's got angles that most people don't have. He's not going to stand right in front of you. He's going to move around from side to side, and he's dipping, and the feints. He's got so many feints. They do feints more than anybody I've ever seen. And over there in their camp, feints are number one to them. Like, the more feints you do, the better the chance they think you have to win, because you're confusing them to death. I mean, he'll switch levels like he's going to go wrestle you. And it's so quick, and then he faints again, faints, and then he's moving constantly. It's just, God, he's got such good striking, and I really like him a lot.
And the thing with Volkanovski is, as well, he's 20-1, and he had his first loss on his fourth MMA pro fight, and he hasn't lost since. He's on a 17-fight win streak.
Yep, he's a bad dude for sure. He definitely deserves all the credit that he gets. If you go watch all his fights, man, the way he moves, he's moving. Everybody else can't move like him, but he can throw a jab and move at the same time. And a lot of people have a problem doing that kind of thing. Like, they just, you know, they can throw the jab and they can move a little bit, head movement and all that, but this dude moves a complete different angle. And it's hard to keep up with. The only thing I don't like about him being so short against Max. Max is, you know, he's got a good distance on him. Reach. If you watch the Frankie Edgar fight with Holloway, Holloway just stood in the middle and just, you know, and used that jab, kept that distance, and just jabbed him up, man. Just pieced him up with that jab constantly. I think he's going to probably do something similar to that, being Volkanovski's a shorter guy. Because he's going to have to get, Volkanovski has to get in there. And you know, clinch with him and get in. And I think if he can clinch with him, get him on the fence and clinch, he can win this. The distance and always, man, he's so skilled. He knows that distance perfectly. And he's so long. His arms are just, the reach is so much longer. And Volkanovski's fought a lot of short people. He's fought a few of them that are, you know, 5'11" and whatnot. But
yeah,
not a whole lot. Most of the people are pretty short.
Yeah, and he's had a few wins by sub as well, so it could be worthwhile him going in there and taking Max down, obviously, to stop him using that reach to the best of Max's ability.
Yeah, it's worth a try for sure, because if you start getting pieced up with that jab, man, it's going to be a long night for you in Max Holloway's world. He loves that game. He can play that game all day.
Yeah, and that's the thing, obviously, we've seen it with the Ortega fight. And then even when he hung in there with the Dustin Poirier fight, like, he held his own in that fight. It was just that both of them were getting cut up. It was just, I think that natural extra 10 pounds for Dustin Poirier gave him that power advantage.
Yeah, for sure. I thought Max was going to look big, because they were saying how the weight cut didn't go good for that Khabib fight at 155. I was thinking, damn, how big is this dude? He's got to be damn welterweight size, probably. So I thought he was going to look big coming in against Poirier, but I was wrong. Poirier looked way bigger than him. And I was like, damn, I don't know. Poirier looked, you know, and he looked really good in that fight, too. Poirier's firing on all cylinders right now, too, even though he lost Khabib. Ain't much you can do about that, but I don't see, like you said, I don't see anybody beating Khabib, really. So, but yeah. Poirier, he was, man, he was looking good. And, you know, Max Holloway had him hurt a few times. It wasn't no easy fight for Poirier. He was tagging him, had him hurt more than once. But, yeah, on this one, I'm going to take Holloway with a decision.
Ah, see, I've gone Volkanovski by KO or TKO in round four.
Yeah, I like it.
Watch, I've said this. Now he'll go in there and he'll say what I've, he'll do what I just said, and he'll go in there, land a few shots in the first round, a few leg kicks and stuff. Second round, he'll go out and he'll go and submit him. He'll take him down and.
Yeah, it's gonna be a submission, armbar, some crazy.
Yeah.
I just think Max is gonna really do what he did against Frankie and let him keep. You know, he's gonna keep that distance. He's gonna hold his ground right in the middle of that octagon and just tag him, piece him up. I love Volkanovski, and I really want him to win. But, if I had to bet the house or bet money on it, I'd have to go with Holloway. I love Volkanovski, though. I really want him to win this fight. But prediction, I'm going to have to go with Holloway.
Good stuff.
He's just skilled up, man. He's just got some mad skills.
So next up, we've got the main event. Like, probably the most talked about main event of the year is Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. And there's quite a few weird things about this. Usman's on a 14-fight win streak. Colby's on a 10-fight win streak. And he's had 11 UFC fights and he's had 10 wins in them. And he's on a 7-fight win streak. Colby's got cardio for days. Like, the guy just doesn't seem to stop. That little 30-second break in between rounds, like, rejuvenates him. It's like someone swaps his batteries and he doesn't look like he's had a round.
Yeah, he's a freak, man. That gas tank is unreal.
And obviously, Usman's gas tank as well. Like, this could be a cardio war. But what's funny is someone put up earlier that they done their things of who's got the best what. And there was stand-up, ground game, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, punching power, movement, and chin. And I think the majority of the people that had commented on it had Colby Covington for most of them.
Yeah, he's turned a lot. He's got a lot of freaking fans now. A lot of people hated him, and then everybody's flipped now, it seems like. I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. His antics are paying off, I guess.
Yeah, see, I caused a bit of a, like, not caused a bit of a stir. Like, someone put it out there, like, they put it up on Twitter on Wednesday or Thursday, I think it was. Oh, so if Colby Covington wins this, is everyone going to start liking him and stuff like that? And I retweeted it and commented with it saying, well, what if we already like him? Like, yeah. The difference of liking someone inside the cage to outside the cage is different. I mean, John Jones is personally my favourite fighter of all time inside the cage because I don't think there's anyone there that's ever done it any better. Like, of fighting someone at their own game and stuff like that. But outside the cage, man, that guy needs Jesus more than he says he does. Like, he says he goes to church, he's a fucking liar. Jesus does not provide you with cocaine and hookers.
Yeah, he's somebody you want to party with, that's for sure.
But inside the cage, there is no one better.
Yeah.
And it's the same with all these McGregor fanboys as well. Inside the cage, I love McGregor's fighting style. I love all the press conferences. I love all the antics in and around fight week and all that stuff. Like, his interviews and stuff. But outside the cage, man, he is a scumbag. Like, straight up 100% a scumbag.
Yeah, I've heard that about him a lot. About all the people at Jackson Wink and all that. They just, all those people are now gone. But, you know, it's just how he's just a piece of shit constantly. And never there and whatnot. I love John Jones. I'm a big fan, but certain people, and I'm a big Conor McGregor fan. I was one of his biggest fans when he came out, and I was dick riding him hard. And then he started pulling all this bullshit, and punching old men in the bar and all that. I can't pull for him anymore. So he's one of my favorite fighters. I like him as a fighter now, but I'm not gonna wear his hat or nothing like that anymore. So.
But it's the same with Colby Covington.
And
the thing is, this is what I don't think people can do, like, especially on Twitter, because you've got the most sensitive people ever on Twitter. Like, because I think it's because you can't explain yourself properly with the amount of characters and stuff that you have. But Colby Covington is undeniably one of the best fighters in this division, if not the best fighter in this division. Like, he's no joke. Like, he's no way or shape or form needs to be overlooked. And Kamaru Usman should be taking him seriously, because if he's only looking at the gimmick, like most people do, and see all this gimmick and all this shit, and think, oh, he's an asshole, like, that means he can't fight. Like, these people are wrong. Like, this means nothing about how he fights.
Yeah, this dude can fight, and he's bringing it. His gas tank is going to be full the whole time. And, yeah, you know, they both fought Damian Maia, and, man, the strikes, significant strikes and all that, was just so fucking crazy that Colby Covington, I think, hit him with 351 total strikes in 3 rounds. And then Usman hit him 244 times in 5 rounds. So it's like, golly, man, dude's putting out some output for sure. His cardio is unreal. You know, he gets you on the fence, you're going down. There's not much you can do about it. And, I don't care for what he's doing. I get on social media and I'm like, I fucking hate this dude, blah, blah, blah. And people hate, you know, let him do his thing. You know, I get what he's doing. I saw the interview where he, you know, against the Damian Maia fight, they were basically telling him, this is your last fight. You know, we're just going to let you go. And he had to do something to, you know, get attention or get the views or whatever he had to do. He did it. And, he's turning everything political now. He's riding Trump's dick so hard. It's fucking ridiculous. I hate that shit. Like, turning it political, and, you know, then people want to turn it racist, you know, racism comes in. It's just too much. And then talking all this shit, nerds and virgins, it's crazy, man. He's an attention seeker, it seems like. But,
and this is what I'm saying. I think him and Henry Cejudo are the same. Like, they kind of have to do this stuff. Like, because even if think Cejudo, even when Henry beat DJ, I think if he didn't go up to fight TJ next, they would have cut the division and he'd have been out of a job.
Yeah.
Like, the same with Colby. Like, you have to bring in the fans. And I think that's why Conor McGregor can do no wrong when it comes to Dana White. Like,
right.
I'd even push the boat out to say, like, he could murder someone. And when he gets out of jail, Dana White will be like, right, you're on the next pay-per-view. I'll give you a 12-week training camp and we'll sell out this stadium. Like,
yeah, he definitely gets the favor from Dana. You could tell in that last announcement he had where he's going to, if McGregor wins, he's going to get the title shot. So
yeah, 155.
Whoever wins that next fight.
Yeah, he's fighting Cowboy at 170, and then he's getting the next shot at 155 at Khabib. If McGregor wants that 155 title back, he should wait another two fights till Khabib retires. Like, Khabib's going to beat Max, and then he's going to beat the next in line for it. Conor McGregor, if he wants that title back, should hold out as much as he can for Khabib to win these next two fights and then call it a day, and then say to him, you know what, I'll come back down to 155. That is his best chance to win that title back. Same with Tony Ferguson. Their best chance to win that title back is to wait till Khabib retires in two fights' time. He'll get to 30-0 and he will sail off into the sunset.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's a money game. I get it. They're trying to create as much money as they can. But it's not right. I like Justin Gaethje. He definitely deserves a shot next, I think. I don't know why, you know, a lot of people hate on Gaethje. I like him. I think he's got a lot of followers, a lot of fan club and all that. He knocks people out. That's what everybody wants to see. I wouldn't even be, you know, I would have been upset if Ferguson didn't get his shot against Khabib. But I would have been all right with Gaethje getting his shot, too.
I think actually Gaethje's the harder fight for Khabib.
Yeah, they're too.
Justin's got the same level as wrestling as Khabib, but he has a level of wrestling. And I think that's what someone needs to to even come close to beating Khabib. Like, I figured it out, and I think it was a total of 96 rounds Khabib's had, or potentially could have had in the UFC, and he's lost two.
Yeah, he's a man. He's so good. And the thing about Gaethje is he doesn't want to wrestle. He wants to knock people out, so people don't even know he can wrestle that time. And you haven't seen him wrestle, so you don't really know. You know how to prepare for a wrestler, but you don't know how he wrestles. So
yeah, exactly.
If he come out, Khabib, and took him down, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and it's the same with this fight. I think Usman's the better wrestler, but Colby's got the better takedown defense, and that could play the biggest part in this fight, because Colby's got the better stand-up as well. I think he's the more well-rounded stand-up fighter.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. You know, Covington's going to come out with his flurries. He's going to march forward and hit him with 10 shots probably. So, you know, as soon as the bell rings, he's running across the octagon, ready to go. Hitting you with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots immediately. Get you on the fence, then he takes you down. And the shots aren't real powerful, but they're shots. You know, judges are counting that shit. And then next thing you know, he's going to hit you 20, 30 times, and you're still trying to get up. And Usman's like, he's a power wrestler, you know, he's a powerful guy. So it's gonna be interesting, man. It's power wrestling versus speed wrestling. So.
Yeah, and I think that's the way Colby can win is if he stuffs that takedown in the first round and sort of puts a shock on Usman, it's gonna make Usman try and think of a different game plan. But when he comes in, he's so one-dimensional with that wrestling. Like you said, he's a power wrestler. So his game plan is like Khabib's, to get you there and get you to the ground. But the difference between Khabib and Usman is Khabib looks for that ground and pound, and he looks for that finish while they're on the ground. Usman just doesn't. He just seems to like want to ride it out to get that decision win because he knows he's dominating you.
Yeah, he likes to grind you out, take you out to deep waters and lay on you and take all the suck life out of you. I like both these fighters, you know, fighting wise. I don't care for Covington personality that much, but fighting wise, man, he's gonna be hard to beat. This is he's got the first most takedowns in the division. Kobe does, and
yeah.
He got 100, and then Usman's got the 100% takedown defense. So he's never been taken down. So I think for sure Kobe's gonna get him on the fence and take him down. It's just. If Usman's gas tank can hold up through all this chaos, then he's going to have to win early, I believe. I think if this goes 5 rounds, Covington's going to win this. He's going to win probably three of the five rounds, I'm guessing. But if Usman can end this early, then that's what he needs to do. Pound him out, ground and pound, you know, let him, you know, go to the ground and just end it as fast as you can. I don't think it's very smart to go 5 rounds with Kobe.
So what's your prediction for this one then?
But I'm going with Usman early, not too early, but second round. Second round TKO stoppage is what I'm going to take. I'm betting on that one.
KO TKO round 3, but with ground and pound. I think, like you said, he's going to get him up against the cage, try and take him down. And if he gets him down, I think Colby's got the better chance of landing them more shots whilst they're down there to cause more damage whilst they're actually down there.
Yeah, so I think it'd go either way. It's hard to pick this one. I like Covington late, but early I got Usman, and I think that's gonna be part of the game plan: take him out early and do damage early, and try to get the money and get the hell out of there and go on to the next one. Maybe get a rematch with Woodley or something.
Yeah. So thank you for your predictions and stuff like that. Pleasure having you on.
Yeah,
hopefully, we can do it again soon. Again, everyone that's listening to this, go and follow Louis on all social media at LouisKO on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. His content's great, his memes, his pictures, everything. Go and follow him. Hopefully, we'll see a lot more of him. I just want to finish on this card with one to watch. And it's a guy I've been posting about on Facebook and Twitter. People might remember him from Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. They might not have remembered much about him. Because, unlike everyone else, they don't get the spotlight straight away because he won a development contract. And that's Mr. Chase Hooper. He, I think he was 5-0 or 4-0 when he fought on the Contender Series. And I think he was just about to turn 19 when he went on to it. And he won with a second round KO. And Dana gave him a development contract and told him to go to another promotion. They set him up in a different promotion. They sent him to Island Fights in Florida. And he's now 8-0 and 1. And I think he's had three decisions, with one of them being a draw. And the kid turned 20 in November. And he makes his full UFC debut on Saturday. He's got so much potential. He's a great fighter. He reminds me a bit of Sean O'Malley. Like, he's got that stand-up game. He's got that reach, the length for the weight division. And he's got some pretty good jiu-jitsu as well. Most of his finishes have come by sub. And he's very, very well-rounded. So watch his fight. It's against Daniel Toima on Saturday on the early fight prelims. And I'm going to go with Chase Hooper to win by sub in the second round by rear naked choke. And if he wins this, trust me, Dana White likes this kid, and he will blow smoke up this kid's ass big time.
Nice.
No, he really will. Like, and like, I know I keep saying it, but I've been posting about it quite a lot on social media. I think this kid could break John Jones' record of the youngest ever UFC champion. Like, I asked Twitter about it, who they think they could, who could beat it, if anyone could beat it. I mean, I think it's 23 years and 6 months. So Chase, obviously, he's only 20 years old and 3 and 2 months. So he's got nearly 3.5 years to work his way up to a title shot, which makes it very, very possible.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm always down to watch people break records. So.
And obviously, like the only other person that I think that could become close to it is, I can't even remember his name, it's the Japanese kid that was 19. He fought when it was in China, I think it was, when the UFC went to China, and I can't remember his name, but I'm going to find it, and I'll tweet about it.
Yeah, a fight I'm looking forward to is the Mike Perry and Jeff Neal fight. They're headlining that prelim, man. That fight, I think that's going to be a good one.
I've got Jeff Neal on Facebook, and one of the things he said this week is he actually, leading up to this fight, well, after his last fight and leading up to this one, he didn't really feel that he was a UFC fighter. He didn't really feel like that this was his job. But now he's doing this fight against Mike Perry. Obviously, it's such a name and he's a fan favorite. He actually feels that the UFC is home now and that this is his job. And I think this is his fourth fight in the UFC as well. So I could make him a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, he better feel at home now, because Mike Perry's gonna come try to take his head off for sure. That's a good fight for him, I think. That's a, like you said, it's a fan favorite. Everybody's gonna see it. I like Jeff Neal a lot. I think his striking and accuracy is really good. Mike Perry, I like Mike Perry a lot. I'm pulling for Mike Perry. I like Neal, but Mike Perry is on such a he just goes out on his shield every time, man. I'd like to see him get a win.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really not like that.
Yeah. He showed his nose earlier in an interview with Ariel Helwani, and how he don't have a nose anymore. That whole nose piece is gone.
Oh, lovely.
He can just push it all the way into his face, and he was like, I can't feel a thing now, so you think I was tough before? Y'all are really in trouble now. can't hurt my nose anymore.
But, yeah. That's going to be one hell of a fight.
Yeah, I like that. And hey, one more little fun fact. I don't know if people saw it or not, but that Matt Brown fight and Ben Saunders, Mark Coleman is going to be cornering him in that fight. He's going to be cornering Matt Brown.
Oh, and, sweet.
Yeah, so all the old school, old wrestling heads that like that old school ground and pound, man, Mark Coleman's going to be in the ring with him, being in his corner. Evidently, they called him, and he's been through the whole camp with him all 3 months, and Mark Coleman's pumped, he's back, man, and he's excited to be around everybody and be back in the business, so I'm looking forward to seeing that fight as well.
Yeah, I'm also excited for the Ian Heinisch fight. I think I said his name right there. I mean, at the start of the year, I wrote an article about who I thought would have a good 2019, and Ian Heinisch was one of them, and I think this is his fourth fight, and if he wins this one, he goes 3-1 this year. Yeah, he goes 3-1 this year if he wins this one, I think it is. So that's a good year for anyone in the UFC.
Yeah, Yeah, he fight. I think he's at a Factory X, man. They're producing some good fighters out there. They're pretty. That's a good camp to be in. You know, if people are leaving their hometowns and coming all the way out there to train, man, it's paying off for a lot of them for sure.
And he's got a crazy story to say of how he got there and stuff. Have you ever heard about Ian Heinisch's story's background?
Yeah, his prison stories. And
yeah,
stuff.
he was an hour away from being killed in a Spanish jail or something like
crazy,
that.
Man.
And then was flown to England and then got a plane ticket from England to back to the States.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. Anybody that can overcome shit like that and rise above all that negative shit, because you gotta feel like shit when you're in that situation. And to rise above and come out like that, it's gotta feel good. So,
well, good stuff. Again, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully, we can do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I've been looking, it's been a long time coming, us talking, so.
Yeah, it has, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, hit me up, man, absolutely. I'd love to do it again.
Again, go and check Louie out on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at LouieKO. Make sure you go and follow me and all the same, at MonstarsMMA on Instagram, Twitter, and MonstarsMMA on Facebook. Thank you very much, and a shout out to XS Mouthguards as well. They're going to be involved in my big plans next year, so go and check them out, guys, as well, for the best in custom mouth guards. Again, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you soon.
All right, bud, thanks. Have a good one.
And you.